This recording is provided by Christian Missionary Fellowship International, Boston. You're welcome to make free distribution to friends. However, all for-profit distribution is a violation of existing copyright and other applicable laws. For more information about our churches, visit www.cmfiboston.org.
So, this is the first of Jesus' miracles, according to John. And there's a lot to learn from this miracle that Jesus performed at Cana. And I want us to look at it and see what it means for us today. So the first miracle that Jesus performs is at a wedding. In two people coming together in a marriage relationship. And a lot of problems that people, it's interesting because at the very beginning of the Bible, God took a man and a woman and he put them together. And at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, Jesus performs his first miracle at a wedding. And our relationship with God, the Bible says, is also like a man and a woman coming together in a marriage relationship. Jesus is the heavenly groom and we're his bride. That's repeated all over many, many times in the scriptures. The relationship between God and his people is like the relationship between a man and a woman who come together in a marriage relationship. It's one of the reasons why our society attacks marriage so much and why divorces are so rampant and why divorce is bad. It's because the marriage is supposed to represent the relationship between God, Jesus Christ, and the church. Now, when Jesus goes to this wedding, unfortunately, something happened. The wine runs out. The wine runs out. And which was both a problem because you have guests and it's a wedding feast. People needed wine to drink. And it was an embarrassment that you would run out of wine. It's like you were at the wedding party and you ran out of food and some of your guests did not have food to eat. It's a shame. But so in our own relationship with God, one thing that ends up happening is that it is possible that we run out of wine. And that wine in our walk with God represents the life, the anointing of God on us. It represents that power of God that's active in the church and that makes a church alive, that causes things to happen. And that causes the feasting to continue. Unfortunately, there's no more feasting in the house of God, no real feasting, because the wine has run out. Instead of real joy that comes because God is moving and changing hearts and healing souls and healing bodies and making things happen, human beings come in their own strength and they try to make things happen. So you see the evidences of this in everywhere. You see Christians bound by sin, we struggle with sin, with bad habits in our lives. Things that when you first came to Jesus, when you first got converted, you did not do, things that you would not think of doing when you first came to Christ. Now you do them because your wine has run out. Maybe when you first came to Christ, you used to love the Lord. You had a lot of love for Jesus. Now your love has run dry. It's because you've run out of wine. Maybe you got married, and when you first got married, you really loved your wife, and you really loved your husband. But the more time goes on, the more, like they say, familiarity breeds contempt, which should not be true about Christians. When you become more familiar with God, do you increase your contempt for him? I hope not. It should not be true for believers. I went home this week, and as my friend Sam was married in May, I was the best man at his wedding. So I'm very interested. I don't go asking this to everybody. But for him, because I believe when you're a best man at somebody's wedding, what it means is that you're saying that I believe in you too, and I'm going to be there no matter what. If you guys ever run into any trouble, I'm going to be there with prayer and encouragement and make sure that this thing succeeds. And I ask him how are things with you and Yvonne. And he told me things are good. He said, we don't argue. I said, you don't argue? He said, not at all. We don't. He said, and he told me that and they're expecting their first child in February. And I said to him that's a greater testimony than anything else. I told him that that's the greatest testimony of that you could ever have for on pretty almost anything. It's better than if you were accomplishing miracles and doing some other things that men in the eyes of men. He said that Pastor has been asking you, do you and Yvonne quarrel? So I said, no, we don't. And he told me that when people quarrel, it's because they're trying to be right. He said, and I don't try to be right. And my wife doesn't either. And so we don't. Pastor, I'm so proud of him. He's a friend of mine that I led to Christ in high school. And he's been walking with God now, maybe better than me. Pastor Ray told me he's one of your spiritual child. I say I don't think of him as such. He's walking with God so well now. I think of him as my brother. I would never think of him again as a child. But what I'm trying to say is that at the beginning, people begin well, but with time, wine runs out. And in this particular instance, the good thing was that Jesus had been one of the guests who was at the wedding. When wine runs out, there's one person that you can turn to, and it's Jesus. If Jesus is invited to come, if Jesus is a guest into your house, if Jesus is if Jesus is the guest of honor in your house, in your family, in the church, you have a lot of hope. If Jesus was not there, there is nothing that could have been done about the wine running out. If Jesus was not there, when the wine was over, it would have been over. If Jesus was not in the house, once the wine ran out, there was no more hope. But because Jesus was there, because he had been invited to come, because he was a guest, it must mean that there is hope. And everybody else there didn't know who Jesus was. Even his disciple didn't yet know really what was up with this Jesus. But his mother remembered that when this child was born, an angel told her, he is the one who will save his people. The angel told her that this is the Messiah, this is the Christ who will be born through you. And so in there, Mary had this faith that maybe my son here, Jesus, can do something about the wine running out. When the wine begins to run out in your relationship with God, when the wine begins to run out in your marriage, when the wine begins to run out in your family, in the church, it is time to turn to Jesus and to say, Jesus Christ, come in into this situation. Jesus coming into my family, coming into my life, coming into this area where I'm being defeated. It's time to turn to God. And Jesus, Mary, the mother of Jesus, turned to him. And she said, they've run out of wine. She says something simple to him. They've run out of wine. Telling him essentially, can you do something? We've run out of wine. Is there something you can do? Now, at first, Jesus pushes back and said, dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. Listen, this is the center of what I want to share with you today. So listen carefully. Jesus did not come to this wedding planning to perform a miracle. He did not. It was not the plan of Jesus to come there to that wedding and change things. It was not that Jesus had planned that I'm going to go to this wedding and there I'm going to perform a miracle. The initiative came from his mother. And I want to tell you that if Jesus' mother had not gone to Jesus and told him they've run out of wine, nothing would have happened. If you don't turn to Jesus and begin to pray, your situation is not going to change. But if you're willing to turn to Jesus and begin to pray, then there is a lot of hope. Then there is a lot of hope for you. Now, at first, Jesus first essentially says, no, I'm not going to do it. My time has not yet come. When you first begin to pray for a miracle, for the wine to come back into your life, God is going to act like he's not going to respond. Your prayers are going to first be like they're going nowhere. When you first begin to pray for a situation, at first, it's going to seem like God is not answering you. You'll be praying and saying, God, why is it that I'm praying and things are only getting worse? But at some point, here's what happened. His mother said to the servant, do whatever he tells you. If we want the anointing of God, and the touch of God, and the life of God, and the presence of God to return into our situation, we're going to have to do what Jesus' mother said to the servant. Do whatever he tells you. The problem is that at some point in our lives, we live according to what Jesus tells us. But then at some point, we begin to do our own thing. If we today make a decision and turn to Jesus and say, God, Jesus, I'm going to do whatever you tell me. Whatever you tell me is what I'm going to do. Then a miracle is going to happen. If we begin to tell Jesus that, Lord, I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do, whether I like it or not, I'm going to put aside my own plans. I'm going to put aside my own way. I'm going to die to self. And I will do exactly what you tell me to do. Miracles will happen. You see, Mary had lived with Jesus long enough. She learned that good things happen when you do exactly what Jesus tells you to do. When Jesus tells us what to do and we obey him, things happen. And when Jesus saw that there was a praying woman here, and here there were people who were willing to do whatever he would tell them to do, Jesus changed his mind and he decided to do a miracle that day. It was not that he planned to do a miracle that day, but he was moved by the prayer of his mother and by the fact that there were people there who were willing to do whatever he would tell them to do. And so nearby stood six stone jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing. These were huge containers, so big that someone could climb inside of him to take a bath. And Jesus said to them, fill the jars with water. They were able to hold as much as 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus told them, fill them with water. So these servants go and they take water and they begin to fill these jars used for ceremonial washing. No one had ever used those kind of jars to put wine in them. They were not used for wine. This made no sense at all from a human's point of view. And you fill them with water, and the people were probably there asking, what is he going to do? Is he going to make us wash ourselves? What's this? But they went and they took the water and they filled it. They filled almost 200 gallons of water into these big jars. And I told them, draw some and take it to the master of the banquet. And when they did so, the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine, and he did not realize that it was water that had been turned into wine. And the wine tasted so good, this man wondered. When we do exactly what Jesus tells us to do, when we're willing to obey him, when we're willing to pray and turn to him, God will be moved to step into our situation and work out the miracle. And he worked a miracle for these people, and he brought wine into their wedding. The feast that was about to end continued for much longer because Jesus turned this water into wine. He brought back the love. He brought back the harmony. He worked out a miracle. He brought back the life of God. And here is the amazing thing about it. In verse 10, everyone brings out choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now. When Jesus turned the water into wine, he made his wine better than what they had at the beginning of the feast. It was not that they did not have, they had bad wine at the beginning of the feast. At the beginning of the feast, they had the best wine that men could have provided. Now that Jesus stepped in, he provided them wine that was better than the best wine that they had at the beginning of the feast. When Jesus steps in and does a miracle, he does it better than we could ever do it. He always brings the best. Men brings the best first. Men bring the best first and the cheaper things later. God always does things better than he did it in the past. He always does the better things later. So whatever, I want to tell you this year, whatever are the best experiences that you've had with God, whatever are the best experiences that you've had in your relationship with God, whatever are the best experiences that you've had, we've had as a church, whatever best experience you've had as a family, I want to tell you that if you're willing to turn to Jesus, the best is still in store for you in the future. Whatever you had in the past is going to be less than what God is going to do in your life if you're willing to turn to Jesus and to do whatever he tells you to do. Both what he has commanded you to do in Scripture and what he tells you individually. God always brings the best at every time that he moves. I believe that even as we pray for revival for this city, God always does things better than he did it in the past. And I'm expecting God to do things this year that are far beyond everything that I've ever experienced in the past. And I've had some amazing experiences with God, but I'm looking forward to better wine this year than I've ever experienced or tasted in the past. Because that is what God does when he truly moves. He could have made the wine as good as what they had at the beginning of the feast, or he could have made it cheaper. But he actually made it better than anything any of those people ever tasted in the past. And that's what God does. And that's what God will do for us today. And the Bible says here in verse 11 that This was the first of his miraculous signs he performed in Cana in Galilee, and thus he revealed his glory, and his disciple put their faith in him. So you see, it went from being meeting the need of some people who needed wine so that their party can go on, and it turned into Jesus being glorified and his disciple putting his faith in him. There's glory that God gets when he steps into your life and brings the wine back into your life. There's glory that God receives when he comes into your family and takes away the arguments and the fighting and all those manifestations of self. And he brings in new wine. It brings glory to God. It's not just that your life becomes more happy. It's not just that, yeah, now you can enjoy yourself. It brings glory to God. There's something beyond it. Every time that God moves, genuinely, it doesn't just meet the needs of man. It brings the glory of God. And his disciple put their faith in him. If it had not been for Jesus' mother going and asking for that for Jesus, bringing this situation to Jesus, because she knew he could do something about it. And if it was not for this servant who did exactly what Jesus told them to do, we would not have gotten to this point where his disciples put their faith in him. Do you see that the fact that someone was willing to turn to God for one particular little situation ended up being used by God for a much, much, much greater purpose? This is the advantage of when we turn to God. I want to encourage us this year to turn to God and to expect his power, the anointing of God, to do what no man can do. No man could have turned that water into wine, but to expect Jesus to do things that we cannot do. I'm believing God for such things, and when situations arise, don't try to figure them out in human strength. Turn to God. Let him come to you and work out the thing that not only he can do. Let him perform a miracle, but you be willing to do exactly what he is going to teach you, what he's going to tell you. That takes humility. It takes surrender. And it's interesting that it is not Jesus who told those servants, do whatever I'm going to tell you to do. They heard that from another human being. If God speaks to you through somebody else, have the humility to say, okay, you know what? God has spoken to me. Let me change. Let me do what God wants me to do. Let's humble ourselves. Let's be willing to turn to God. And wherever there's been dryness, wherever there's been deadness, wherever it's been empty, may God bring that wine back. May God turn it. May God do a miracle beyond what you and I can conceive in our own human strength. Amen. Let's pray, and let's pray and ask the Lord that He would do in our midst great miracles this year, that wherever the wine has run out, there will be better wine than we've ever tested ever in the past. Let's pray together. Our Father, we pray, O God, in the name of Jesus, that you will move in our midst, O Lord, that in whatever area, Lord, where there's been dryness, O God, Father, we pray, O God, that there will be new wine, Lord, better wine than we've ever tasted in the past. Lord, come, bring back the life. Bring back, O Lord, the wine like we've never had before, Lord. Father, we pray that individually and as a church, O Lord, this will be true. In Jesus' name, amen.